Welcome, everybody, back to Friar Talk. Today, we got some Padres news, as there appears to be some interest in Tommy Pham, and it seems like this, maybe he's the last guy they signed. Maybe he's the last addition to the roster. We had talked a bunch about some potential guys to sign, either maybe some bigger names like a Jock Peterson in the past. Obviously, Padres don't have a lot of money right now. That didn't come, you know, come to fruition. We've also talked a lot about trades, talked about Max Kepler being a guy that made a whole lot of sense. It doesn't seem like they're going to go that route. Then later on, you know, we talk about some prospects that they can trade for. That was about a week or two ago. And now we're full the way around where it's like, all right, very end of free agency. Looks like they're going to add like maybe one guy, maybe two if we're lucky. And that's rough because this is a team that has like four open spots in the lineup. At least I would say that. I don't know what you're thinking, Isaac. Maybe you can say three. And maybe they don't view it like that. But it does seem very questionable for what this team's roster is going to look like. And it seems like Tommy Pham is the guy they're going to bring in. So, Isaac, first thoughts. What do you think about Tommy Pham returning to San Diego?
I think he left a very sour taste in our mouths when he did leave San Diego. It wasn't a very friendly goodbye from us to him or from him to us. There does seem to be mutual interest. There's guys in the clubhouse that would vouch for Tommy Pham. I think some people consider him a pretty solid role model in the clubhouse, and I can't vouch for him in that sense, but if the players can vouch for him in that sense, then I mean, I could see why. He does play outfield. We're missing an outfielder. We could use a left fielder. I'd say center field, but it seems like we know who might be locked into center field come opening day, at least for the Padres. So, I mean, Tommy Pham makes a lot of sense, right? It's like he's going to be under $10 million. He's familiar with San Diego. He's played with some of these guys before. He's really good at hitting lefties. He was in the NL West just in the back half of the last season. I mean, I don't like it. I'll say first and foremost, I don't like the move. I don't think it's the best move. It's quite annoying to me how the Padres went from being one of the top spenders in baseball. And I don't expect them to be one of the top spenders in baseball every single year, but I don't expect them to be penny pinchers like this. I don't like the route that they went after the passing of Peter Seidler. I think it's the wrong way to do things. And I don't agree with it, but obviously I don't control that. So if we're going based off what I think, based off the circumstances and the information that we've been given, Tommy Pham with the mutual interest seems to be the move that the Padres are leaning towards. Brandon Belt seems to be like a guy that they might go after. Adam Duvall seems like a guy they might go after. There's just names that, hey, they're not big names. They're not great names, but they're upgrades, right? They're upgrades over guys like Jose Azokar. Jerkson Profar didn't have a great season last year. They're upgrades, but it's not exactly what you want from a team that's going to be over $200 million, pretty damn close to over $200 million. The Braves are like around $200 million. Their roster is 10 times better than ours, I will say, at least five times better than ours. So this doesn't feel like a team that's worth that much money. So it's pretty frustrating to see what has transpired this season, this offseason. Not that I expect big moves every offseason. I don't expect them to be like the Dodgers. I don't expect them to be like the Yankees, but having to resort to guys that weren't successful in their stints on your team not that long ago, guys that are older like Brandon Belt, and like, don't get me wrong, he has experience in the NL West, tons of it. He had a great year last year, but again, he's an older bat, just like Nelson Cruz and Matt Carpenter were. Adam Duvall, like, yeah, sure, he can play some outfield. He's a little slow. He had an okay year last year. I mean, it's really frustrating to see who they're resorting to and how long they've waited. Now, if they get back Blake Snell, who, as time goes on, I wouldn't say his value is diminishing, but the years are like the guaranteed years. Instead of seeing a 5-year deal, you might see a 2 or 3 with an opt out after the first one or the second one, right? Now, if the Padres somehow bring back Blake Snell, get a lefty in the rotation, I know it's not likely, but I think it's, as time goes on, it's becoming more likely. If they can get Blake Snell and get Pham and Belt, then I'm happy, right? Because at least you're getting a top-end lefty pitcher back in your rotation, and suddenly your rotation's you, Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Michael King as your top four. That's nasty, right? You're going the route that you did in 2022, where hey, your lineup might not look that great. Honestly, it's going to look better this year going into 2024 than it did in 2022, and you're going to have a nasty rotation, right? I think that sounds great. So I think that's the route they should go if they want to be cheap in the bats and sign a lefty pitcher still. That's the route I prefer they go. But obviously, outside of that, their only option's a trade. And we've made trade videos before about guys like Duran, Frelick, guys like that who we think can be contributors out in center field. But for now, we're talking about a guy that he was pretty good last year, Matt. If you don't mind pulling up his Baseball Savant, that'd be fantastic.
And Tommy Pham.
Yeah, please. He was pretty good last year, especially with the Mets, which was a surprise. You'll see his OPS against lefties was pretty damn high. I believe it was 861, but you'll see his batting average, 89th percentile with the Mets. He had an 871 OPS, obviously wasn't as hot, or that's against lefties. With the Diamondbacks, obviously wasn't as good against lefties, but with the Mets, he was pretty damn good throughout his time there. So after the All-Star break, he kind of cooled off. Before the All-Star break, he was a really good ball player who was actually sought out by quite a few teams. And you look at these numbers right here, and they're actually pretty good. Average exit velocity, 93rd percentile. Expected batting average, 89th percentile. Slugging percentage is up there. Like, this guy profiles as a guy that the Padres could really use in their lineup over a guy like, I don't know, Jerickson Profar, Jackson Merrill, Jose Azucar. Nothing against Jackson Merrill. We'll talk about him in a separate video. But, I mean, this guy seems like he can be a contributor to the Padres, right? A 774 OPS, you'll take that over Trent Grisham's 670, 660 OPS from last year, right? 770 is pretty close to what Fernando had last year. So, yeah, you'll take these numbers from a guy like Tommy Pham for sure, especially for 6-7 million, I believe it is.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because he has like really good numbers. He had really good numbers last year, but you also look into a little bit more in like 2022, 686, 21, he was what was with the Padres, not very good there. And half of his season in 22, look, it's with the Reds. He's playing in a really, you know, not a ballpark that's like really nice. But like before this year, the last year he had a 800 OPS was, where is it, 2019. So it had been some time, like since Tommy Pham had a good year. And he didn't have an 800 OPS last year, but he had 770. That's good numbers. It's just, I don't know. Like you said, like you don't really love this move. Like, yeah, it's a good pickup, solid, cheap bat. Like, that's nice. But it's like, you're kind of just hoping he does what he did last year. And what he did last year wasn't like anything ridiculous. It was just like, okay, he's probably a little bit above average baseball player, a little bit above average outfielder. And it's like, you also are banking on him to do that. It's not like just a lock that he's going to come in and do exactly that. Like, and we were talking about Tommy Pham before we actually started recording. It was like, do you remember how aggravating of a player he was to watch because of how unlucky he got? Like, you looked at those advanced metrics right there, everyone that's watching. Those are ridiculous. Those are dark red across the board. But that's how Tommy Pham's advanced analytics always are. He's like the poster boy, I feel like, for having these great advanced analytics and just being pretty good. Yeah, he was pretty good. But look at the advanced numbers. Like, you remember that in San Diego where it was always like, well, he's going to break out. He's going to break out of his slump. And then like he was okay. He had like a couple weeks where he was like really hot, and that was about it. He was on the Padres. Now, one of the seasons was a 60-game season, but he was there for 2 years. So it's just tough where it's like, it's not too exciting. However, I think one thing that's interesting is like Tommy Pham is such like, look, Padre fans especially like don't like Tommy Pham. Just like, I don't know, like you said, like a sour taste left in your mouth. But baseball guys outside of Jock Peterson seem to really like him, you know, like people outside of him slapping, you know, Jock Peterson in the face, whatever he did. It seems like he is like a leader type. And it seems like the Diamondbacks felt like that. Like, even though wasn't like great for them, like he was a guy that was like that. And also, like, guys, if we're being honest, like the Padres locker room has been a little bit strange. Maybe it's a really bad idea to bring him in. Like, maybe that's a horrible idea, because if you remember in 21, it kind of felt like Tommy Pham was in the middle of like the problems of the locker room, because they had locker room issues then. And it was like a relief that he was gone the next year, and you had Profar out there like smiling and stuff. So that was part of it. But also, like, you've heard other places where it's like people like the leadership and stuff he brings, like the intensity that he brings every day. Maybe the Padres need that again. You know, maybe it didn't work last time. Maybe they need it again. However, we could very well see it working out in a very bad way. And you just like wasted this guy coming in and, you know, a young guy isn't getting at bats, whatever it is. So like, I can see both sides on Tommy Pham. Brandon Belt, I'll pull up his numbers right here. He also had a good year last year, really good numbers last year. But then you look at him, like the advanced analytics aren't there. 2022, he was awful. But then 2021, he was awesome. He played like half a year, but he had almost 1,000 OPS. Like, he's played in San Francisco for a while. You know, like, he's a guy that I think makes a lot of sense. But these advanced analytics are so bad. 4 percentile expected batting average, 1 percentile strikeout. That's awful. But if you can, like we just said, like Tommy Pham's are way great, and he had almost the same number. He had worse numbers. So it's a very interesting thing. Brandon Belt, you're going to get a lefty. I think that makes it a little bit more intriguing. I would expect it. Tell me if I'm wrong. I would expect that he would cost less than Tommy Pham just because he's a little bit older. I feel like people are more looking at his season as like kind of a fluke. It's more of like a DH and kind of a first baseman. But guess what? That's something the Padres need. So at the very least, if they do sign Pham, because that's more where the interest has been. That's more where the rumors have been, is like, oh, Tommy Pham's the guy here. If they're going to do it, like, you might as well bring both of them in and just on two cheap contracts if that's how you're going to round it out. Isaac, you did say, though, that you'd rather see them sign Blake Snell, and I 100% agree. Not only would that be great for Blake Snell, but your pitching would be set for years. It would be so set. You have all these young arms coming up. You have a bunch of guys under contract. Your pitching would be so dialed in that this year could just be a reset year from the offensive standpoint, because let's be real, like, you're going to just have right now, you're just hoping that your pitching is that good. That's what you're hoping for. And bringing in Brandon Belt and Tommy Pham aren't making it like, oh, lineup's great now. It's not going to feel like that if we're being realistic about it. However, you bring in Blake Snell, you had a good bullpen, you know, you got dudes in your 1-2-3 spot, and you have a bunch of young arms, controllable young arms. You have guys that are coming up. You have guys in the bullpen, and it's like, okay, even if you Darvish or Musgrove kind of like get a little bit older, same thing with Snell, like, you're going to have guys coming in there and they can be the vet. You can have a 1-2-3 setup of vets that have done it, you know, and they can really be mentors to all these young guys too. So not like you already have that with Joe Musgrove and you Darvish, which is awesome, but you could just add another guy like that. So if there is some way, that's obviously my favorite route. I don't think they're going to go that route. However, you said it, the longer and longer Snell waits to sign, the more likely it kind of feels like. Like, how bad is it? I mean, like, I don't think he would, but like, it'd be so crazy if he just signed like a 1 or 2 year deal with the Padres, or like a 1 year with an opt out, you know, like a big one. So we'll see what happens, man. But that's kind of where I'm at overall in these guys. It's like, you either got to sign a couple guys to get some vets, or it's like, just play the young guys. And I can get behind playing the young guys, though. We're going to talk about Jackson Merrill tomorrow. Everyone needs to temper their expectations for Merrill, Marcy, you know, all these guys. Like, people are acting like Merrill's going to come up and have crazy numbers. That's unlikely. So I do find it interesting, but I'm also, I don't know. I'm like kind of torn on, like, do you just play the young guys, or do you get the vet guys that are going to be okay? Because they could be the difference in making the playoffs. They really could. That's how baseball is. So I don't know. What are your final thoughts on these guys that the Padres are interested in?
Well, I didn't get to talk too much about Brandon Belt, but like I said, like you said too, right? He had really good numbers last year, like an 850 OPS, something like that. 19 home runs. I checked earlier, his expected home runs in Petco were 18. So it's only one less than last year. So I don't know, man. I know he's old. He's 35. I'm sorry if you're 35 and watching this, you're not old. Just in baseball terms, he's a little old. And, you know, I don't know if it was a fluke his last season. Obviously, the expected batting average shows it was a little bit of a fluke, right? His expected batting average was 212. However, even if his batting average is 212, that's still around like a 750 plus OPS. And if I'm being honest, I would take that gladly, because Carpenter didn't hit that. Cruz didn't hit that. Grisham didn't hit that. 750 OPS probably gets you more hits with runners in scoring position, a stat that the Padres were historically bad at, one of the 10 worst teams ever with runners in scoring position. If that stat flips over to where they're even average or below average, they're probably a playoff team. So that'd be nice if they can finally get a guy that can hit with guys in scoring position, you need a lefty in your lineup. I think Brandon Belt makes quite a bit of sense. Now, if the route is going to be sign Blake Snell and then sign two cheap bats or trade for a cheap bat, I think this is a great route. I think that's the best route, if I'm being completely honest. Like, Blake Snell is probably going to get 25 plus million on a 2 or 3 year deal with an opt out after the first year, maybe. Maybe. I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work, but I mean, you can have a great rotation and a great bullpen with a solid to decent lineup, and you're suddenly looking like a much better team than you were quite a few days ago. And because right now you look at the rotation, it's Darvish, Musgrove, King. Who else? Brito? Vasquez? You don't really know. Like, I don't know. I can't be for certain that it's either of those two. I think one of them will fill one of those spots. But I can't, if I'm being honest, like, I don't know who else is going to fill the fifth. I don't know. Do you even have a sixth? Do you have a seventh? Do you have an eighth? Because the Padres usually have to get to their seventh or eighth. Do you have that? No, not really. Not one that you can be confident in, at least. So expanding the pitching, whether it be via free agency or trade, would be beneficial. Rather than signing, like, let's be honest with ourselves, is Tommy Pham going to really make that much of a difference in a lineup that's already dominated by righties? I don't think so. And not to mention, Matt, you brought up the issues not only with him and our amazing fans, but it seemed like he was kind of contributing to the clubhouse issues as well. So if I'm being completely honest, I don't want Tommy Pham, like, at all. I'd rather have Brandon Belt, maybe Belt, Duvall, and a pitcher. I think that'd be a great three right there to kind of go off of. So that kind of concludes what I have to say. If we sign Tommy Pham, it makes sense. I will understand the signing. His numbers were great last year. He fell off after the All-Star break, which I think is the real version of Tommy Pham. But there's only one way to find out. I hope it's not with us, but if it is with us, I will understand the signing.
Yeah, and Isaac, honestly, at the end of it all, like, going through everything, I think it makes more sense to sign Brandon Belt too. And I don't think that's, like, what most people are feeling like. I think most people feel like Tommy Pham makes way more sense. You need outfielders, whatever it is. But, like, you can just have some guys in the outfield, like, okay, is Azucar going to be that much worse than Tommy Pham? Is he? Like, maybe, like, yeah, a little bit, but he's also fast. He's also good on the base pass. He's also a good fielder, even though last year his numbers weren't the best. But, like, the year before, they were really good. Here's what you're going to get with Brandon Belt. All right. And I kind of said, like, oh, you don't really know. This is actually what you're going to get with Brandon Belt, because I started looking back into his splits, because I was like, you know what? How big of a deal is he's a lefty? He can DH for you every single day against right-handed hitters. And check this out, dude. 890 OPS last year against righties. Now, 22, bad year. Had just over a 700 OPS, but he still had over a 700 OPS. That's a lot better than Matt Carpenter did, a lot better than Nelson Cruz did. And here's the big thing. 2022 and 2021. Right? I'm sorry. 2021 and 2020. Over 1,000 OPS both those years against righties. Have him come. Sometimes he can play first base. Most of the time he can DH, and he can hit every single day against righties. And that's it. That's a super easy defined role, and that's going to add a couple wins. He's going to come in. He's going to hit a bomb in the third inning, a three-run shot, and you're going to win that game 3-2, and you're going to do that a few times. Because that's what this team's going to be. It's going to be a team that's trying to scrape in the playoffs. You're going to need stuff like that. So that's why I like it, where it's like, and that's like probably the Padres' biggest hole, and not in terms of their position players, but in terms of their lineup. So I'm with you. I'd rather see them sign Brandon Belt. Now, maybe they sign a couple guys. I think that makes a lot of sense. But I do kind of wonder, like, Tommy Pham, does it, at least in my opinion, it feels like he's going to be a little bit more expensive than, you know, Duvall, Belt, stuff like that. You can get two of them, go that route. If you can get both of them, I guess, sure, but I think Brandon Belt makes a whole lot more sense because he is lefty. You can platoon him, and it's going to work out. Like, that's what his career's been. He's been great against righties his whole career. So hopefully he can continue to do that. I mean, he's getting older, yes, but, like, that should be the expectation still, because he just did it last year, 890 OPS. He's had good years recently. You know, three of his last 4 years, he's put up terrific numbers against righties. So hopefully you get, you know, one of those years. But yeah, I think that's probably going to do it. We mentioned we're going to talk about Jackson Merrill tomorrow, talk about him in center field, talk about kind of all the expectations and hype surrounding him, which, don't get me wrong, it's awesome. I'm super happy for him. He seems pumped. seems like he's acclimating well, but we do want to talk about it a little bit. So we're going to get into that, but thank you all for listening and let us know, who do you want the Padres to go after? I think people are starting to get a little bit restless. Like, hey, we need to sign someone. What is going on? I'm starting to feel it too. Like, and I don't know, let us know who you think they should go after. What would you do with the last little bit of money? It seems like 15 million, unless you're like, fuck it, we're going Blake Snell, which would be awesome. I would feel so like energized with that signing, but doesn't seem likely. But yeah, let us know what you're thinking. And who do you think the Padres should sign? Comment below, and we'll talk to y'all tomorrow about Jackson Merrill. See you then.